The KCLR Daily with Brian Redmond on air, online and on smart speaker.
Anne Marr is a local Kilkenny woman who has been battling, I suppose, the cause for those who have Lyme disease for a number of years. She's worked very, very hard to try and encourage people to know more and encourage people to get some help and support. And when it comes, I suppose, to the battle to raise awareness in general for Lyme disease patients in Ireland, Anne Marr could probably write a book. So that's exactly what she did. And not only has she written a book, but she joined us here in the studio. Good morning to you, Anne.
Great. Good morning, Brian. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Yeah.
I need to start, if you're okay with it, by talking about Lyme disease. Obviously, that's what we're going to talk about. But, you know, your own story with it. You know, tell us that, if you're okay.
Yeah, I went to my nephew's wedding in New Jersey in 95. Had a brilliant time. The first time I had a holiday like that with my sisters and my brother in the States. And I came home. I was sick the day of the wedding, a bit in my stomach, and I didn't feel great. You know, I thought it was all the different types of food that you eat when you're away, and you know, the way. And I got home and I was just, I said, oh, it's jet lag like this. I just wasn't able to get out of the bed. And sadly, my mother-in-law died suddenly during that night. And I don't know, maybe it was some people, some doctors say that trauma bring on something, you know, worse. I don't know, but I was flattened. The fatigue was something. I mean, it's not just tiredness. You're just, I used to explain it to my children that, you know, when you make a bowl of jelly and you put too much water in it and you turn over the mold and it's all over the place.
Yeah.
So that's what it was like. Yeah.
So that was the first couple of days, but you didn't know at that stage.
No, sure, I didn't know for a long time. I got facial Bell's palsy, but it's facial palsy because I still have the remains of it after all these years in early 97.
Yeah.
And
so that's 2 years.
Yeah, well, a year and a half after I was over, and I thought, I didn't know what was happening, so Mick brought me down to Dr. Johnny Cuddy.
Yeah,
and sure, there was another patient waiting there, and he thought I was having a stroke, and he got the girl in reception to just, look, will you get the doctor out quick? Anyway, I was diagnosed with Bell's palsy. I was even walking from, I couldn't walk a straight line or, you know, I just felt weird, but the face, my eye was open night and day for 6 months. I used to have it covered when I'd be asleep.
And Bell's palsy, I mean, there's a lot of people get Bell's palsy from different conditions as a result of
and
often they improve within a matter of weeks or months.
Yeah, I was told that, to be better after 6 weeks, but no, that didn't happen. But I must say, Dr. John Cuddy was amazing, and he never doubted me for a minute that I had something serious going on, which is, like, other Lyme patients don't have that support.
And still at this stage, I mean, he was doing a great job of not doubting you, but you still didn't know what it was.
Yeah, so maybe a month or two after getting the facial paralysis, he met Mick down the town and he said, will you bring Anne in to me? And he had seen a documentary on the BBC the night before about Lyme disease, and he was really interested in it. And the penny dropped. All the symptoms they were talking about related to me. So he wanted to see me. But he'd done tests immediately. Tests were negative, and I was sent to Beaumont. My tests there were negative. And when the first ELISA test is done, and if it's negative, it's not sent to the expert lab in Porton Downs in England, because for whatever reason,
you should probably go, should we do the test? They don't have it.
But even if they were, Brian, the blood is taken, and when I went to James's, they actually sent a sample to test it and then sent that sample to Porton Downs. That's the same sample. So you can imagine if there's anything going on in the blood, by the time it goes to another lab, you know, can they pick it up?
And had you spent all of that 18 months with all of those different sorts of symptoms that you mentioned, you know, feeling really lethargic, jelly, as you described.
My toes, I had terrible pain in my toes and my fingers, and moved to my my elbows and knees, and then I got fierce pain up my neck into my head. I didn't really know what was going on. Yeah.
So as you were going along and you were, I suppose, the condition within you was showing more and more symptoms, they were just sort of stacking up one on top of the
other. On top of the other. And just, I was just floored a lot of the time. And it came, like 2000, then it kind of came to a head. I got very sick and I was admitted to Beaumont. I had pneumonia. Mm. And I really think that respiratory consultant saved my life. He did every test under the sun. I collapsed there in the bathroom. and I woke up and the other patients were saying the rosary and all the nurses and doctors around my bed. I didn't know where I was. But I reckon he saved my life because he prescribed IV antibiotics
right.
for a month. And I stayed there for a week until they knew that they agreed with me, and then they transferred me to St. Luke's and GP practice. Then they put in a program where I was getting the IV in the doctors Monday to Friday in the A&E then and Saturday and Sunday.
And at this stage, had you been diagnosed with Lyme disease?
No. We had bad experiences with infectious disease, I have to say. They just have so much to learn, Brian.
So, Anne, how long did it take you from this trip to the States for your nephew's wedding in 95 until you suffered through these growing number of symptoms over months and years and years?
Yeah.
When did you get your diagnosis?
2003, through my brother,
he found
a Eurolyme group. It was an email group at the time. And he said, would you ever buy a computer? We didn't even have a computer then. So that Christmas, we bought a computer and a whole other world of information opened up to me. Mm. And those girls, they were absolutely brilliant. A few of them that were over that actually phoned me and all when I hadn't a clue what they were talking about. And there was a guy, Bob, I'll never forget his name, Bob. He had travelled to Dr. Meir in Flemish in Switzerland. And he, you know, for tests and everything. And he detailed all his, where he went, where he stayed, how he got there. And I printed it all off, Brian, and contacted Dr. Meir and made the appointment.
To go to Switzerland?
To go to Switzerland.
And it's not like hopping on the ferry to go across to Liverpool or Manchester.
I was very lucky. My sister Bridget came with me for support. And to be honest, the doctor did tests in Switzerland, in Germany, and she sent some to a lab in New Jersey, relative to where I was staying. So I was diagnosed with Lyme disease and a mycoplasma fermentin. It's a co-infection. And these co-infections, that's why I call the book Lyme and Co.
Yeah.
The co-infections are as serious to get rid of, to treat as the Lyme disease.
So at that stage, you're talking about somebody who had the condition for 8 years.
And I had a scan in Basel Hospital, a brain scan. And I had vasculitis in my brain and I was at very high risk of stroke. She started me on aspirin straight away.
Do you think that was as a result of the Lyme disease or do you know that was as a
result? Oh, she told me that was it. And I know patients here that have
Lyme
got strokes.
If you said to somebody in the street, oh, I've heard there's loads of ticks going around, you want to watch the Lyme disease, it seems to be something that everybody, the man and the dog in the street, as they would say, knows about it.
They don't. I met a veterinary nurse just a couple of weeks ago and she told me that dogs don't get Lyme disease in Ireland. And I know for a fact they do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, look, it's all about education, awareness, Brian. You know, we're trying to get a message out there and we're trying for years. Like, I'm gone 70, so I figure...
You figure what now?
No, but I'm lucky I had the support to look after me at home, Mick and the children. And without that support, patients around the country don't have that support.
I mean, you're talking about, as you said, it was 8 years between when you first contracted the disease and when you were diagnosed. I mean, there's probably patients, God rest them, who have passed away having had Lyme disease without even knowing they had Lyme disease.
I know a few. One young mother passed away last year.
So this takes people's lives.
And another lady she was only diagnosed actually after having a stroke when she was unconscious.
So, and what I say, what do we need to do? I mean, it's, unfortunately, there's very little I can do, or you're doing obviously everything you can. But what needs to be done in relation to Lyme disease? Who needs the education? Who needs the awareness?
Well, I've said in my book, I wish that all, like, trainee student nurses, doctors and pharmacists should be educated on this during a part of the training. Do you know, it's...
How prevalent is it? Do we know? How many people, you know, is it common in Ireland?
Sure, look, we don't know. TikTok Ireland are the main support group and I was admin there until Mick passed away. And we had, I think there's around 4,000 members there. Yeah. And then the following year then, in my craziness, I started a little Facebook page thinking, you know, if you got 50 and we'd have the daily chat or whatever.
How are you going? What's the story?
So we have 735 on it now. And we all help one another out. It's a shoulder to lean on, Brian.
Yeah.
You know, there's some people so isolated that even their families don't believe they're that sick.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Is it because of the fact that it's so unknown, so little known about them? People are complaining about some.
And if you get negative tests, it's the whole bother.
So you haven't got it. What are you on about?
It's all in your head, and they offer you antidepressants. But the fact is, this thing doesn't have to be a chronic illness if it is diagnosed and treated early.
Mm. Well, you're doing a great job in terms of getting the message out there, because we just got a text in from Carol, and she says, ticks are rife here in Kilkenny, worse in Mayo, she says. My dog's treated. I'm terrified of them.
They're everywhere. They're not, you know, originally the research, well, the little research from years and years ago said that the national parks, you know, Wicklow, Glenveagh, Connemara,
and
Kerry,
stuff like
where
that.
There's deer. But Dr. Owen Healy, he was a research guy in UCC. He said infected ticks are all over the country.
So there's a couple of things that we need to try and do. One, you know, by you being here telling your story, there's thousands of people across Kilkenny and Carlow now maybe more aware of it than they would have been before.
Yeah.
If you're somebody who has similar sorts of symptoms to Anne but hasn't yet been diagnosed, what would you say to somebody like that, Anne?
Well, you'd hope that they could go and get tested immediately, but look, I don't know, the tests are just, they're missing something, you know. The majority of patients that are diagnosed here get send their bloods abroad for diagnosis.
So keep pushing, I think. We'll
and he's pushing. And we have one Lyme-literate specialist, Dr. Lambert, in the matter.
Okay, so maybe reach out to him as
well. Patients are coming from England and Scotland and Europe and all to him.
There's thousands of people listening who don't have Lyme disease. What would you say to them about being careful when they're out on walks and around animals and stuff like that?
To be honest, they advise to wear light clothing, tuck trousers into your socks.
Yeah.
Sounds daft, especially in summertime. And use tick repellent. And do you know what? The problem really is with young children. You have to check them. If they're out in the park and rolling around in long grass or whatever, you just have to make sure. Because I've seen a photograph of a little child and there was a small nymph tick. They're like a pinhead, Brian, stuck on his eyebrow. And it would have been overlooked only for his mother was aware.
Yeah, or because, maybe because of the fact it was on his face, if it had been on his leg or something like that.
It was a tiny thing. You know, it's just like a spot.
And of course, you've got taking the time to recount your journey with Lyme disease. Lyme and Co, Me and Us, My Journey with Lyme Disease Since 1995. Where could people pick up a copy of that? Because I guarantee you there's somebody listening this morning who thinks, God, that story sounds very much like how I feel. I wonder, is there anything in the book that might trigger something with me?
I'm having a launch in the St. Canice's Neighbourhood Hall on Thursday evening.
Yep.
It's awareness. It's a launch, but it's awareness evening, and John McGuinness is doing the honours.
Yeah.
John has been absolutely, for the last over 20 years, he's tried everything to get me treatment abroad and really supportive organising Oireachtas meetings and everything for us. So I was delighted that he accepted my invitation.
Hi, Brian, great awareness.
I have books available there. Now, we have a problem. They're on Amazon, but because of Brexit, the paperback is... It says it's unavailable. that's on the English site, but you can order it from the German site.
Okay, so if you're looking for Amazon.de would be the German site, you can check it out.
But
there.
If anyone wants one and they're not able to access it, contact me. I have writer's rights. Seemingly, I can order a few more books.
Yeah, well, it's about time you got some rights, I suppose, you know, after all those years of trying to raise that awareness.
Gone mad in my old age, Brian.
Sure, we're all gone a bit mad, would be grand. This texter says, "Hi, Brian, great awareness work by Anne." She mentioned infected ticks. Do they all have Lyme disease? All the ticks out there are only some of them. I've pulled ticks out of my dogs most years here in County Kilkenny. Do all ticks carry Lyme?
No.
Okay.
Only a percentage, but who knows? It's like Russian roulette. Who knows?
So, not all. Don't panic straight away if you see a tick, but do
just
take
if you're
measures.
Removing ticks, because I know one of my Lyme friends in Dublin was mine and her neighbour's dog, pulled out ticks out of the dog, and she's sick nearly as long as me. So, just wear gloves if you're moving ticks.
Okay.
And just, wash your hands and protect yourself. Yeah.
Well, Amar, that's a launch coming up this Thursday. The book entitled Lyme & Co, Me and Us. Order it off Amazon's German website. And she still has writer's rights. She'll have them forever and a day, Anne. Listen, thanks for taking the time to come in and join us. And lots of information online if people do want to check things out and want to check things out immediately. But
so I'll have information leaflets there on the night. I'll have an awareness table.
Tell us once again, time and location.
7 o'clock, and I'm doing an awareness window in Cairns Bookshop on Friday for a week, and the credit union then from the following Tuesday for a week.
Yeah, fair play to you. No stopping you. Mar, thanks for coming in and joining us here to share that story with us on the KCLR Daily.
Thanks, Brian.
The KCLR Daily with Brian Redmond, on air, online and on smart speaker. With thanks to the Fairgreen Shopping Centre gift card, the perfect gift for all occasions. See fairgreen.ie.